Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Helping you discover the Twin Cities, it's Radio K's Real College Podcast. Online and on air, my name is Aaron Bolton, and our fearless leader Matt Curtis is unable to make the show for the next couple weeks, so I will be filling his shoes in his absence. This week, it's all about beer. That's right, the good stuff. Yellow Gold and Liquid Courage. Volunteer Patrick Sharkey looks at how local breweries are lending a hand to newcomers entering the booming craft scene. And past producer Mitch Skinner also takes a look at how Surly Brewing, a pillar in the Minnesota craft beer scene, came to take such an unlikely name. Also, we hear the word on the street from Anna Siebenaller and Radio K's weekly release spotlight with Zach Simon. And it all starts right here on the Real College Podcast. Since the Surly Bill passed in Minnesota, breweries are popping up all over the place, and competition is heating up. But it isn't as cutthroat competition as you may think it might be. Volunteer Patrick Sharkey takes a look at how a new brewery got an unlikely hand in getting their start.
May 2011 was a good month for beer drinkers in the state of Minnesota. It was during this month that State Senate Bill HF 1326 was passed swiftly by both the Minnesota House and Senate and was signed into law by Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton. HF 1326, also known as the Surly Bill, did away with the state's old three-tiered system. It strictly separated the ability to manufacture, distribute, and sell alcohol in the state of Minnesota and replaced it with a model that allows for a company, for example, the Surly Brewing Company, to do all of this from one location. Quite simply, it allowed for breweries to open their doors to consumers and paved the way for this boom of great local craft beer to be enjoyed by Minnesotans. Since then, Minnesota has seen a huge influx of new breweries start up in Minnesota. One company, Bad Weather Brewing Company, started shortly after the passage of the law and has been navigating the amber waters of brewing beer in Minnesota ever since. I spoke with co-founder Joe Giambruno to hear about his experience of starting a brewery in Minnesota.
So I've dated, well, my wife, I chased her in college. We went to school in North Carolina, and for Valentine's Day, she got me a home brewing kit. I won't say how old we were, but I started brewing beer, you know, about, that was 9-10 years ago. Became obsessed with it, was pretty obsessive compulsive about it, just as a lot of people in the home brewing industry is. You kind of get hooked into the hobby because it's, you know, what I love about it is you can make great beer and there's different levels. You can keep it easy, just like making mac and cheese, or you can, you know, make it right, rocket science if you really want to.
After attending brewing school in Chicago, Joe came back to Minnesota and met up with some friends at Lucid Brewing, based out of Minnetonka.
Lucid is where we brew currently in Minnetonka. Part of their business plan was to bring in other breweries because they had extra space. It's kind of a great way to get set up for us, and it's also a way to help them pay rent, too. And so I got in with those guys and met up with my business partner, who also was going through brewing school. Our interest and our taste in beer and what we wanted to do was very similar. Realized that it would be much better if we went together rather than separate. And knowing the Lucid guys, you know, we could start up without raising $2 million going that route, and it seemed like a fantastic way to go, and it was.
So Joe and his business partner Zach had a place to brew their beer. They had the knowledge to create something of quality. The next step, they needed a name.
That was actually from my business partner. Zach Carpenter, he brewed with his dad and his brother. They'd brew, you know, at least once a week. I'm sure they quickly got kicked out of the kitchen, and whenever they were brewing, it was always raining or snowing or whatever, so they kind of called themselves the Bad Weather Brewers, and it kind of stuck.
And so with a name and a good product, the Bad Weather Brewing Company was ready to take the beer brewing community by storm. You're welcome. And yet, in doing research for this story, I found myself on mnbeer.com, which, other than being a great beer blog, lists the breweries that exist in our fair state. Do you want to know how many I counted? 71. 71 breweries. That's a tough market. I spoke with Ryan from mnbeer.com to get his thoughts on what appears to be a pretty tough market to get into.
You know, 10 years ago, if there was a new brewery coming, everyone knew about it for 6 months because there weren't that many. And now at this point, it's there's a new brewery in a small town every month or more. So to me, that's exciting, and we're seeing that all over Minnesota. We had places like Summit and James Page and Shells that really laid the foundation for all of this years and years ago. It's in Minnesota, and it's all across the country. People are, they're hungry and thirsty for new flavors, and that's regional things. And that's food, that's beer, that's wine. I think it's just a trend to grab things closer to home. And my excitement is that I think that's going to last. I don't foresee that fizzling. I think I think certainly you've got to put a good product out, but people are excited about moving kind of outside of the chains and the big beer and things like that. So, and yeah, I think it's amazing. So I'm very excited for it to continue.
It really is exciting, and I surely want it to continue. But what about the companies trying to make it in such an ever-expanding and populated market? Here's Joe.
When we were when we first initially wrote the business plan, it was a very different market. There wasn't nearly as many out there, but no, everyone is doing really well. Everyone's growing. It's such a fun scene to be in. As it continues to grow, it's still so young. It was what, 2-3 years ago the taproom bill went through. The beer is just going to improve with the more people out there, quote unquote competition. Yeah, there's competition when, particularly when you're talking about shelf space in a liquor store, or whenever you go on tap, you're knocking someone else off potentially, and they've got sales reps that come in there once a week. But right now it's still a very fun environment, and people are excited about what's coming up.
And what's not to be excited about? New beer is constantly hitting the shelves, local companies are thriving, they're creating great things, and it's freaking summer, man. So go grab a cold local craft beer and just sit on a boat somewhere. And be sure to keep an eye out for Bad Weather's new brewery. It's opening up in St. Paul later this summer. For Radio K and Real College Podcast, I'm Patrick Sharkey.
You're listening to the Real College Podcast, and you just heard Patrick Sharkey's story on the opening of Bad Weather Brewing. And in the studio here, I have with me Patrick. How are you doing, man?
Hi, Aaron. Doing all right. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. How was doing the story?
It was fun. I went into, I met with Joe at their new tap room. They're opening up in St. Paul, so if you listen closely enough, you can hear some construction noise in the background of the interview. But it was fun. It was good to talk to him. He's a good guy, and I think they've got some stuff to be excited about.
Yeah, and how did you come across Joe and his Bad Weather Brewing Company?
Yeah, actually, maybe almost a year and a half ago, I was getting a drink, and I tried their beer, and it was great. Did a little research on it, and turns out we went to the same high school. I think he graduated 3-4 years ahead of me, so the connection was pretty much already there. I actually graduated with his brother. So it's pretty easy to reach out to him and kind of pick his brain about what's it like to open a brewery in Minnesota and kind of that whole process.
Awesome. And so it sounds like they're growing.
Yeah, they really are growing. Because I think they've been going since about 2011, 2012, since the bill passed. And the fact that they're able to buy this huge space in St. Paul now, 4 or 5 blocks down from the XL, I think they're doing pretty damn well.
When are the doors set to open for their St. Paul location?
Not sure yet. It sounds like sometime this summer still. So I think, I've been following them on Twitter, and construction's coming along. They just got all their beer engines and everything like that installed. So it should be within the next month or so, I would assume.
Okay, awesome. And then are you a craft drinker yourself? Is that your main beer of choice?
No, certainly, yeah. Yeah, definitely a craft beer drinker. And that's kind of why I was attracted to the company in the first place. They're making really good beer, making it locally, and it's exciting.
Yeah, and it sounds like breweries are just popping up all over the place since the Surly Bill has come into play. It's creating some challenges, but it's also exciting for some of these guys.
Yeah, I think it's a good community. I think they're all pretty supportive of each other. Joe, they were able to work with the Lucid guys to kind of get their feet off the ground, and You know, Joe had also mentioned that they've got some help with the guys from Fulton. So it sounds like it's a really good community, and really it's more of a, instead of fighting against each other, they're more in competition with the bigger breweries and kind of the bigger chains. So it's working out. I mean, you go to bars everywhere and you see craft beer from Minnesota all over the place. So it's great.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really interesting to see guys help basically initiate another person into their realm and their kind of competition, but helping them at the same time is really interesting. Yeah. Well, thanks for doing the story, man. It was awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
Hello and welcome. This is Anna with Word on the Street on the Real College Podcast. We've got some really neat events lined up this week, starting tomorrow with Walker Arts Center's Summer Music and Movies Bigger Than Life. On Monday, they will feature Gary Lurie and friends at 7 p.m. in Loring Park. Lurie released a solo album in 2008 called Vagabonds, and from that album, here is a piece called True Blue.
Witches and their thorns rumble where they lay. Feeling sparkling secrets. To hold you would bring happiness. Your absence sorrow.
Then on Tuesday, the 28th, Snow the Product will be at Fine Line Music Cafe. Snow is signed with Atlantic Records and just released a new mixtape called The Rest Comes Later. Here is a clip from her song, Bet That I Will.
Bet that I blow a few stacks. Bet you ain't no woke independent. Now tell them I know you knew that. Snow be so dope, I'm numbing the feeling of all of the hate that I feel that I'm getting from broke male rappers and ugly women that say I ain't because of Nikki and Niggy. They downplay the lyrics delivered. I'm killing. But I hit them with, have you seen them? Only way that I'ma kill it, get a booty like Selena. Heard she ate pizza. Now I'm calling Domino's Pizza Hut, my man Cheese. Unsaid for some reason, he liked that I'm eating. I'm pushing this weight, now my weight kinda leaving. But staying in places, he like what he seeing. I tell him grab on, cause I'm taking these beatings. And I'm out here working again. Ain't that what I'm supposed to do? I'm a Mexican while you bedazzle. I'm fighting embezzlement. I'm being court and I'm not one to settle it. Y'all owe me money, y'all will forget it then. I know the rules and my ruler been bending. And my grand committed, my money demented. I'll hire some immigrants, pin you like Pinterest. Cause they don't know English, they won't get a sentence. Cause we could build houses, no blueprint.
On Wednesday, the 29th, Ringo Death Star will be at the Turf Club. They are from Austin, Texas, and have played all over the world. Their first album was called Color Trip, and their most recent called God's Dream. Here is their song, Chainsaw Morning. On Thursday, July 30th, Radio K is sponsoring Sarah Beth Nelson at 7th Street Entry. She just released her new album, Fast Moving Clouds, this year, and from that, here's her big track called Paying. On Friday evening, a Twin Cities indie rock group called The Mumblin' Owls will be performing at Maddie's on Main. Here's a bit from their song, All Shall Be Well.
I sang you a song as you drifted to sleep, and I know you long to be. this world its secrets and sins, and the ghosts that haunt you still. So you're running till it hurts, till it burns. All shall be well, and all shall be well. All manner of things shall be well. All shall be well, and all shall be well. All manner of things shall be well.
And finally, on Saturday, August 1st, Radio K is sponsoring Screaming Females at Triple Rock Social Club. The Screaming Females are a rock band from New Jersey. They just released an album called Rose Mountain last February. From their new album, Rose Mountain, here is a track called Empty Head. That wraps it up for this week's Word on the Street. Thanks for listening in to the Real College Podcast.
We continue the beer show as we take a look back to Mitch Skinner, past producer and managing editor, as he takes a look at Surly Brewing.
Defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary as gloomily morose, ill-natured, abrupt, and rude, the word surly doesn't immediately conjure up an image of excitement or fun. Culture Q reporter Mitch Skinner investigates how local brewery Surly plans to change the ideas associated with its brand.
The Midwest is certainly known for its beers. Anheuser-Busch has regional headquarters in Missouri, and Miller has headquarters in Wisconsin. But Minnesota is not far behind, as the young but growingly popular Surly Brewing stakes its home in the greater Twin Cities area. In fact, Surly's popularity has grown to the point that they plan to build a $20 million expansion to becoming a destination brewery. President and founder of Surly Brewing, Omar Ansari, goes into greater detail about the proposed expansion.
We're going to build a second brewery location here in the Twin Cities and have a new, bigger brewery, a tasting room, a beer garden, a restaurant, an event center, and all those things that we can do if we can just sell people a glass of beer. So that's what we're working on.
However, Minnesota state law stands in Surly's way, as only brew pubs are allowed to brew and serve beer on their premises. Surly produces far too much beer to fall under the standard of a brew pub. Instead, Surly is looking to change state law with a bill that will allow them to serve beer at their brewery. The proposed Surly bill has already passed in the Senate and House Commerce, but awaits approval from the full Senate and House before reaching the governor's desk for final approval. But what does this proposed destination brewery mean for local businesses? Some have argued that greater competition in the market will cut into the profit of other local alcohol destinations, like bars. Todd Smith, owner of Nomad World Pub, disagrees with this notion.
I don't think it will really have an impact one way or the other. If anything, perhaps it marginally enhances it. Craft beers are a growing segment of the liquor market, and Surly is recognized as one of the best in the country. We serve their product, so maybe someone will go there and have a few beers and get kicked out and need somewhere new to go.
Surly claims that Minnesota is a beer state and that having their bill passed will help Minnesota be better recognized as such. Smith agrees with this concept and believes the laws in place are outdated.
Exactly. I think they're blue laws from over 100 years ago that don't make sense, and no one's bothered to change them.
We always have said at Surly that we brewed beers for people that didn't know they wanted them until they drank them. There's a lot of exciting new beer things going on, and I think that is because we are a craft beer state, and maybe it took a little bit longer because of the laws, but I think it's going to happen nonetheless because that's what Minnesotans want.
A $20 million expansion to Surly is certainly an interesting prospect to beer enthusiasts, and is no small feat for a company celebrating just its fifth year in existence.
You know, when we started, it was just Todd Haug and myself. He brewed the beer, I delivered it and tried to sell it. There were no master plan in the beginning that it was going to be this thing that took off, but we've really been embraced by beer fans here in the Twin Cities and across the country. And like I always say, don't ask us to do it again.
Smith believes the enhanced flavor of craft beers is increasingly enticing to consumers.
You know, I think just the marketplace is becoming more educated about beer, similar to what went on with wine probably, you know, 20, 30 years ago. There are good beers and bars all over the city.
Surly believes that their $20 million expansion will improve the local economy by luring tourists rather than just taking from the existing market.
When I went out to San Diego this last year for my friend's 40th birthday, we went to go tour three breweries. And when we did that, we stayed at a hotel. We ate out every meal. We went shopping at some of the local stores and establishments. And we never would have gone there if it weren't for the fact that there was this brewery tour to go on.
Beyond improving the economy with tourists, the expansion should create many jobs, both temporary and permanent.
We're thinking 85 construction jobs and over 100 full-time positions when the facility opens. That's what we'd like to do and like to try and bring to Minnesota in the next couple of years.
But when it comes to alcohol's effect on society, perhaps no one has put it better than Homer Simpson.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
With Culture Q, I'm Mitch Skinner.
It is time to talk about our weekly release spotlight. And in the studio, I have with me Zach Simon. What do you got for us this week, man?
This week is Sister Girlfriend's EP titled Knock. It's a little six-song sampler that they're releasing actually on August 4th. I know they have a release party in Seattle, their home, on July 29th. But look for this to be actually released on August 4th. Should be a good time.
Nice. And what kind of music do you listen to for this one?
Yeah, so Sister Girlfriend is, they're like a more bluesy or more disco-y Mayer Hawthorne, or like Hall & Oates kind of meets like post-rock, or like with post-rock influences. And yeah, they're very like bluesy, funky, like a lot of R&B loveliness. So very, very dancey album. It's
awesome.
Really nice.
And this is their first one, right?
Yeah, this is actually their first EP, first really anything. They have a couple singles out that actually aren't on this EP, but otherwise this is their real first release of anything kind of substantial, which is pretty cool. So
I've got a favorite track off it yet.
I really like the song Old Enough to Know Better. It's a very, really catchy song, I guess is the best way I can put it. They have a music video produced by Eleanor Petrie, but it hasn't actually released for like wide consumption yet. They just had it premiered at like a little Video Oasis festival in Seattle a little while ago, but otherwise, yeah, it's a really, really good track, and I think we're definitely getting a lot of good airplay on it here.
Awesome.
At Radio K.
And you said there's a lot of hooks on this one?
Yeah, no, they actually, it's called, so the EP is called Knock, and it's because every song on the EP is meant to answer two questions. First question is, does it have a hook? And the second question is, does it knock? They're very, like, kind of silly in the way they present themselves, and they like to be a lot more fun-loving. I know for a fact that they are big Mariners fans and big Steely Dan fans, so they have a lot of like Instagram videos of them singing along to Steely Dan.
Nice, nice. Definitely something to look for. All right, man. Well, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
To close out the show, here is Sister Girlfriend with Old Enough to Know Better from their Knock EP and her weekly release Spotlight. Thanks to Patrick Sharkey, Anna Siebenaller, past producer Mitch Skinner, and Zach Simon for contributing to this week's Real College Podcast. We really hope our managing editor, Matthew Curtis, makes a quick recovery and returns to us. Until then, you can find us on iTunes, RadioK.org, and on air Sundays at 6 p.m. on Radio K. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and thank you for listening. Just too old. It's Sunday evening.
tonight.